Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Call it an adage or a mantra or the number one rule about real estate value: location, location, location. I wonder, does that also apply to finding new love? Take out your maps, because we're exploring on this episode of Dating While Gray, the grown-up's guide to love, sex, and relationships. I'm Laura Stassi. The ocean. It's the place to clear my head, lose myself in a novel, get my creative juices flowing. I'm really lucky. I own a small vacation house in a beach neighborhood. It takes maybe 3 minutes to stroll from the top of my driveway to the community walkway. And that leads to the wide sandy shores of the Atlantic Ocean. I've been renting out my house now for over 20 years, but lately I've been wondering what it will be like to live in it full time. It's a lot of fun to be here in the off season with family and friends. It's also comfortable on my own. It feels remote, but when you want a little action, it's close enough. A 3.5 mile drive takes me past a couple of grocery stores, little shops, a movie theater, and my favorite bistro and martini bar. As enjoyable and therapeutic as time at the beach is, I do have concerns about the older dating pool. The full-time population is about 3,800 people. Who knows how many might be my definition of age-appropriate and available.
The bigger the pool, the more turbulence there is, I think. The deeper the water, you have to dig deeper.
That's Lori, a longtime close friend of one of my sisters. She's a very positive person, and she also knows how much I love idioms and metaphors. Lori happened to settle down in a slightly smaller town, 3,700 people. It's about a half-hour drive to the big military base. Marriage is what brought Lori here. After getting divorced, she stayed, worked, and raised their kids. Eventually, Lori started dating. When she was in her mid-40s, she got remarried. So far, it's a happily ever after. Especially now that they both retired and built a big house on a wooded lot with a water view. On one of my beach house visits, I drove 10 miles over the bridge and had lunch at Lori's. Afterward, we sat on her porch, and she tried to assuage my fears about dating prospects in this particular geographic location.
It just eliminates some of the variables. You may not have as many options, but...
How many options do we really need?
Maybe it's just simplifies.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
I think it's like with anything else. If you live in a very large city, you're going to have so many thousands of things to do, big parks, restaurants, you know, every type of restaurant imaginable. But then the work that it takes to get into a restaurant in a place like Northern Virginia, Boston, New York City, LA, you got to plan ahead. You got to make sure you have reservations or you're going to eat at 10 o'clock at night. Whereas in a smaller pool, there may be fewer fish, but they're easier to catch.
Oh, there you go.
So maybe Lori has a point. To throw out another metaphor, if you're looking for a needle in a haystack, don't you want the haystack to be a short one? As Lori mentioned, there are other variables to consider. For example, I found a report where some group looked at a bunch of data to figure out the best and worst states for older singles to find love. One caveat, they define older as 65 and up. We, who are ages 50 to 64, apparently we don't count. This report found the best dating pool is Washington, D.C. 57% of all residents 65 and older are divorced, widowed, and never married. Speaking of caveats, D.C. also has the most lopsided ratio of older single women to older single men. It's also the most expensive place to date. FYI, it also has the highest number of older singles with sexually transmitted infections. Florida, in case you're wondering, is also in the bottom, but Florida ranks better than Delaware, New York, Maryland, New Mexico, California, and Alaska. I found another study, this one by AARP. It's called 13 Great Cities for Older Singles. Now, if I'm reading it correctly, they include factors like access to healthcare and social outlets, but they don't consider relationship status. And they define older adults as anyone who's reached the age of 18. They give two age breakouts, adults defined as 18 to 64, and seniors defined as 65 and older. Seniors, you know how much I dislike that ageist term. Come on, AARP. If you're going to use seniors, shouldn't the other category be juniors? Anyway, the AARP study found that the top city for older adults is the Big Apple, New York. Others on the list include Denver, Pittsburgh, and two Arlingtons, one in Virginia and one in Massachusetts. Here's some more data coming at you. It's from a Yahoo Finance study ranking the 25 best cities for singles over 50. Here they look only at population because they figure the best city for singles over 50 are those with the highest percentages of singles over 50. Can't argue with that logic. The top spot goes to Detroit, Michigan, with Rochester, New York at number 2. Come to think of it, I haven't heard of any Dating While Gray listeners in Detroit. Are you out there? And the one listener I know who lives in Rochester, he's recently coupled up. Washington, D.C., by the way, is number 3 on this list. And fun fact, none of the AARP best cities are on the Yahoo list. Curious what it's like for older daters overseas? I asked longtime Dating While Gray listener Marina to send a voicemail about her experiences.
I've actually been on dating sites since I was 18, back when there were newspaper ads. I got married twice, and I finally got divorced the last time, 19 years ago. I'm 63, I've got two children and a granddaughter, and I'm working as an artist. I did date a lot of men, and when dating was quite new in Denmark, because I'm from Copenhagen, Denmark, when dating was brand new in Denmark, with the first dating website online, there were hardly any women online. So the few women that actually had a dating profile, they got completely swamped in mails from men that were interested in dating. And I remember that I had about 600 replies on my first online dating profile. Those were the days. I felt so obliged to date these men. Like, you know, they shown me interest, and of course I need to reciprocate that with going out with them. And I was working in the middle of Copenhagen, and I was actually dating three men a day. I had one in my lunch break, one after work, and one in the evening. I went on like that for months and months, every other week when I didn't have my youngest son. My purpose was finding a husband and, you know, build on family life. So I had hoped meeting somebody also with a small child, but I didn't succeed. Finally, I thought to myself, why not find more like girlfriends that are in the same situation? So I put up an ad as if I was a man. And I had about 100 women replying in 2 weeks. My profile name was Girlfriends Wanted. And I wrote in the top line that it's not a sexual thing. I just want to meet somebody to drink coffee with. I call it lady dating. So I started dating all these women. And I noticed that these women had similar stories. They had all been married for years and years, 25, 35, 40 years, and they were now on the market, not being aware of how to meet a man. And because a lot of the men had had much more experience in online dating, these women had really awful experiences. So I started telling them how things worked, and I made a blog. It was called Dating Queen, and it was quite popular, and expanded from that into me in a period when it was really hot, this blog, not being able to get any dates at all because the men were afraid that I was just looking for stories to tell on my blog, which I wasn't, because I had tons of stories that I didn't have to get new ones. And also I learned so much from dating myself, how to meet men and what I wanted myself and what they were looking for, and like decipher the whole writing and getting to the first date and on the first date, deciphering what's actually being said or meant or wanted. So just before the years up to COVID, I was very busy, but I had given up on dating local men. I only dated businessmen that were working in Copenhagen maybe a couple of days a month, that would return here ever so often for dates. Some of these men only wanted somebody to have dinner with because they hated eating alone. Some of them were extremely interesting. I must admit, I didn't have sex with any of them. It was merely an intellectual thing. And I also found them much more in the moment, instead of dating local men that were always thinking ahead, you know, is she gonna be like my ex-wife? Can I get into bed with her? They were thinking far too far into the relationship and not being in the moment and not being curious about me, who I was. It was like I could have been anybody. I was just an object. Any woman will do. Was the feeling I had with the Danish men, whereas it might have been any woman would do with the foreign men, but they were so much in the moment and we had such interesting conversations and talks. COVID completely ruined that and it has not come back. I mean, nobody travels for work anymore to the extent that they did before COVID. So I did go on one single date, I think after the first lockdown, and it was just so uninspiring and not interesting at all. So I have completely given up on dating, completely not stopped looking because I still have my Tinder profile and I'm still on Facebook dating, hoping that somebody will contact me. And in fact, one guy, a friend of a friend, did contact me on Facebook and we spoke on the phone a lot. writing a lot, but he does not take the initiative to meet. And I'm like leaned back in my femininity, and I want the men to be the outgoing, the initiative, the initiator of a date, but they don't. They simply don't. I don't think that local men in Denmark recognize what being leaned back into your feminine energy, they don't recognize it. They think that women are not interested if they're not grabbing them by the throat and dragging them to their house. So it's kind of boring in that way that I don't get a lot of male perspective on things. And I would like to have that. It's not been possible to have male friends because they're only friends with you until they give up having sex with you, or until they get a new girlfriend. So this is my story. I hope you can use it. Thanks for a great podcast. I really, really like it. And I'm going to listen to the latest episodes now that I found you again. Thank you, Laura.
Marina proves to me once again that dating stories, while being unique, are also universal. Still, I'm intrigued with the idea of meeting up with out-of-towners to simply share a meal and a conversation. Maybe Marina and I can figure out some sort of business dating exchange program. I've never been to Denmark. Coming up next, we're going to hear from two more listeners sharing what the dating scene is like in their respective corners of this wonderful world. That's after the break. With the seasons changing and some fun getaways on my calendar, I want to spruce up my warm weather wardrobe. That's why I'm happy I found Quince. Quince offers clothing and accessories for women and also men, even kids and babies. Plus, Quince has housewares like organic duvet covers and shams and so much more. Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's because Quince partners directly with top factories. They cut out the middleman and pass the savings on to customers like me and you. Quince works only with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing processes, along with premium fabrics and finishes. What's not to love about that? So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/datingwhilegray for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/datingwhilegray to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/datingwhilegray. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Whether we found the one or are still searching, romantic relationships can be stressful sometimes. And I've learned that when I keep my emotions bottled up, it starts to affect me negatively. I know that therapy is a safe space to get things off my chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing me down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, how about giving BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire so you can get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/datingwhilegray today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/datingwhilegray.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Pennsylvania, the Keystone State, though officially it's a commonwealth. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Pittsburgh pops up in the AARP study. In the Yahoo study, Philadelphia is number 24 of the top 25 cities for singles over 50. But those are industrial and urban locales, and Pennsylvania is the third largest rural state. For those Pennsylvania residents, like Marcia, dating can be challenging. Marcia's in her late 70s, and she sent me this hometown dating field report.
I moved to this particular area with my husband about 37 years ago. My husband died in 2010, but it took me about 10 years before I decided I wanted to date again. That's been challenging. The dating prospects close to home seem limited to hunters, fishers, motorcyclists, and campers. I'm not interested in any of those things. I'm more of a museum, art gallery, traveler, reader type of person. I'm also not motivated by their profile pictures of themselves sitting at their kitchen table drinking a beer. Now, I'm not opposed to drinking beer. I've been known to down a few myself. But please, guys, get your granddaughter to help you take a better selfie. The closest big towns are about 40 miles away. So I've expanded my search, and thank goodness I still drive and am in good health. I've been on 6 different dating sites and have gone on a few dates, and I've even had a couple of relationships. But they've been long distance, and those come with issues like spontaneity, weather, and frequency. I was off the dating sites for over a year and just re-entered the realm. Basically, the same scenario has played out. So you can imagine my surprise when a man with many of my criteria from less than 10 miles away sent me a heart and we began a conversation. It's been about a month now, and we're dating regularly and are very attracted to each other. I guess it pays to be patient and hopeful. We don't know what the future will be for us, but we think it looks bright.
Can I just say, no matter where we live or who we're looking for, let's all avoid selfies in our dating profiles. Can I also say, only 10 miles away after all this time? I surely do love that. We wish you all the best, Marcia. Where she lives, it's only about a 42-hour drive to the home of Dating While Gray listener Diana Lockett. Along with being a speech-language pathologist, Diana's also a conscious communication leadership consultant and relational coach. I connected with Diana after she emailed to tell me about her work and how it might relate to dating. Around the same time I received Diana's email, another listener contacted me. She's a psychotherapist who was a little embarrassed to admit that she's been having some trouble keeping positive about being single. You'll hear more from that listener in a future episode. For now, I'm sharing my conversation with Diana. Her dating insights are in spite of, or maybe because of, her home in a scenic and sparsely populated community in Canada.
I am in a beautiful little mountain coastal town north of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
What's the dating scene like there?
Haha, there is no dating scene in this little town. I moved here from the Toronto area 2.5 years ago. And the pickings are pretty slim here.
When you say little, can you give us an idea?
The town is primarily 20,000 people. The primary demographics is couples roughly between the ages of 25 and 40 coming here with their families. So even finding cohorts my age as friends was a challenging experience here. So I now have a community of women that I'm so grateful for. The men, a little bit harder to find.
Interesting. So tell me how you ended up in this small town.
So 2.5 years ago, I moved here with my son, who was then 14 years old. And I was living in Toronto when COVID hit. Toronto was very severely impacted. Everything shut down. Everything went remote. And our remote experience was almost for 16 months. A few moments of openings, but mostly closed. And so I learned how to do all the work that I do, which at the time was a speech language pathologist, relational coach, yoga teacher, trainer. I did everything remotely. And at this exact day that COVID was declared. My husband of 15 years left our family and didn't come back. And so...
I'm sorry, can you unpack that a little bit?
I would have been 55. No, 54 at the time.
Oh.
And we had been together, and I truly thought he was the love of my life. He really showed me so much just capacity to receive love that I didn't know was possible. I come from a very traumatic background, and so I'd been unpacking that for the last 20 years or so. I was really ready to receive love when I met him, and we had a child together. We opened up businesses together. We failed businesses together. The trauma of that really impacted our relationship. I recovered by getting more into my masculine mode of go, 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 do, 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 make sure my family's taken care of. And his mental health challenges at the time made it very impossible for him to step up in that role, which means I had to step up more. If you understand feminine masculine dynamics, I became very masculine in our relationship out of necessity, and it really impacted our dynamics. I was in Iceland with my kids when the COVID pandemic was declared, and we were supposed to be there for a couple of weeks. We ended up pivoting, changing our dates, coming home sooner. The day we got home, my husband left our home so that we could quarantine, which we knew was the right thing to do at the time, and he never came back. It became, you know, almost like washing my hands, we're done with this. And I did all the things that someone with an anxious attachment history, if you know what that means, it means when people move away, I try to cling even harder. I did all the things I could to try to keep him in our family, and he really didn't have the capacity, and I had to learn to release him with grace and love and understanding, and became pretty quickly a single mom during a situation where there were four of us, two adult children, my daughter and her partner, and my child who was 14, our child who was 14, living in the home, trying to navigate this COVID environment, working and living and studying from home. It was very difficult, and it was also a blessing in disguise.
Well, it's interesting to me because you say it almost matter-of-factly now. I had to learn how to let go with grace, and I'm thinking, okay, how traumatic was COVID anyway, or the shutdown especially? It was uncharted territory, international. It wasn't just one neighborhood or one community or one country. It affected everybody, and your marriage is at the same time falling apart.
Absolutely. The reason I can speak to it matter-of-factly now is because I've released a lot of the trauma from my body. I had been writing a book for 7 years. I did not have the last four chapters written. In the meantime, I wrote five other compilation books, which was for some reason very easy for me, but the end of my personal book was really challenging. And it's because I needed to live these last 4 years really and experience them and do some deep healing and understanding and compassion and love and loving kindness. And in doing so, I not only healed my relationship, but I healed all of my past relationships, including childhood trauma. And it was hard, and it was messy, and it was uncomfortable, and it was, you know, despicable at times, and it was gracious, and it was beauty, and it was incredible. I did not want to project pain into the world. I wanted to turn my pain into love and project love into the world, which is what I do through my coaching and all the work that I do now. So it required me to really be in the center of the mud.
Center of the mud. That's a visual. I've never heard that before. Center of the mud. When you wrote to me, you said a lot of your single friends have given up on dating. And I have certainly heard that from people who write to me. But it sounds like you have not given up.
I really can't give up because I've done so much personal development and spiritual growth work that I am prime and ready to attract the right person into my life. And I know my next relationship is going to be my life relationship. I will not be in a relationship that doesn't feel like that for me. Of course, I can't control everything, but I feel like I have so much to offer. So the right person for me is really going to have to be the right person who can't command tons of my time, who is willing to meet me on this spiritual playground that I believe relationships are. And so when people say to me, I've given up on relationships, I wonder, and if they're my friends, I actually ask them, like, what are you expecting out of a relationship? And usually it's, I want someone to take care of me. And of course, I do too. I have taken care of two men. I've had two long-term relationships. I've been the primary breadwinner. I don't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I want someone who can meet me in my financial stability that I have now. And I really believe that the right person is the person who will help me to grow even more and not just provide for me. And so when people are saying, I'm giving up, I ask them, have you given up on yourself? And what work do you need to do to be able to be in relationship with yourself so much so that if anybody dares to knock at your door and want to be in relationship with you, it's because they amplify your beauty, your grace, your growth, not make it more difficult.
Everything you're saying makes sense to me. And at the same time, it also sounds pretty heavy. It doesn't sound like you're looking to casually date until you kind of find the one. It sounds like you are really intentioned about, I want a partner, not I'm going to just check out what's out there. Yeah?
Yeah. And I'm realistic. In order to do that, I have to do some dating. And I have a 26-year-old daughter, and she's the first one to say, Mom, you're not dating enough. And I kind of like have to go through and do my weeding through the potential connections. For me, it's all virtual right now. There's nobody live in my community, so I have to do a little bit of virtual searching outside of my community. I would love to say that I will meet someone organically. I will know our hearts will connect. It will be the right thing. But that hasn't happened. And for me to even consider going on a date, the potential connection needs to have some level of awareness, some level of having done some personal growth, of understanding personal and relational dynamics and how we intertwine together, sometimes in really unhealthy ways, and hopefully in the future in more healthy ways for me. What their attachment styles are. In other words, when things get tough, do they want to run away? Do they try to grasp? Or can they take time and then work through it? I'm on two dating sites and, you know, I get occasional hits and sometimes I initiate the hits, and I've learned to start with casual conversations because the deeper questions that I really want to ask are sometimes, I think, a little triggering to the recipients. I don't give out my phone number. I ask for social media evidence of their existence. And if someone says, I don't have social media, to me, that's a red flag because we live in a world where at least LinkedIn is a social media site.
Right.
I need to verify the person's identity before I get into more of the deeper conversations. And then I often will meet with them for a coffee. And I only do that when they come up to me. So I live about 45 to 75 minutes outside of Vancouver, depending on where. So if they come up and they meet me for a coffee, I'm really happy to do that. And I believe that any connection has the potential to be a great connection. It just may not be a lifelong connection.
Okay, so you're not meeting somebody halfway, geographically halfway.
There is no halfway, unfortunately, where I live. It's their place or my place.
Oh, interesting.
Halfway is the highway along the ocean.
Oh, God, I'd love to come visit. That sounds really pretty.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. But the challenges definitely are in the dating realm.
Diana tells me that for her family's sake, she's committed to staying put for at least a few more years. But she's open to long-distance dating and eventually perhaps moving. In her capacity as a relational coach, Diana does have advice for anyone in any location whose confidence about dating might be faltering. To learn more, go to datingwhilegray.com and the bonus content page, and then click on the link to this episode. You may remember me telling you, I sold my house last summer and eventually moved about 90 miles south. In 5 months, I'll need to either renew the lease on my rental or move. Coincidentally, my passport expires a month after that. I don't know yet what I'm doing about the lease renewal, but I will get the passport renewal in motion. Whether it's for vacation or relocation, I don't have anything specific in mind yet, other than being open to the possibilities of anywhere.
Dating While Grace audio production and mix is by Steve Lack Audio. Theme music by D. Peter Schmidt. Please like and follow Dating While Gray wherever you get podcasts. That way, you'll never miss an episode. And if you're so inclined, leave a review letting everyone know what you love about us. For more on the show, check out datingwhilegray.com. That's where you can find the Dating While Gray archive of episodes. You can also find links to send me questions, comments, tips, and true stories through email and voicemail. You know I love hearing from you. While you're there, sign up for the free Dating While Gray e-newsletter delivered every Friday to your inbox. That's datingwhilegray.com. I'm Laura Stassi. Thanks so much for listening.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.